We are live. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Comedy with Cameron, a job that's no laughing matter. I'm your host, a very nasally Cameron Curtin today, just coming off a cold. But hey, we got to do it. Got a very special guest today. I'm a Pierce College student on a journey to explore the vastly exciting world of comedy from professionals in the industry. Like always, on today's episode, we have a very, very, very special guest. She is an administrator and creator. Is that the right term for this?
I create, book, and produce
okay.
the show, yes.
All right. Yeah, we'll get into it. Of a comedy show at the Dark Horse Tavern, which I heard from you is going to be moving pretty soon.
Yes.
Is that safe to say?
We have been canceled at the end of season one, so season two will be at a different location.
Okay, where comedians from all over perform. Thursday nights at 7:30. Is it going to be changed at a new area?
Possibly. Okay. It might possibly a new day.
So watch out for the change up in time. It is called the We Need Another, in all caps,
the We Comedy Needed Show. Another.
Needed.
Yes.
Sorry. Apologize.
Okay.
She's a great stand-up comedian performing all over. Please welcome. Let me know if I say your name right, okay. We didn't confirm this. Is it Meryl Adams?
Or it's
is it
Maral.
Maral,
yes.
Where's that name from?
That's I'm Lebanese Armenian. It's very, very common where I'm from.
Okay. So I'm just a white dude, so it's Meryl in my head. So thank you so much for being here. Let's get a little origin story on where you're from, like how you got into this. So where are you from?
I was born in Lebanon.
Okay.
I spent the first 9 years of my life there, and then my folks moved us to Queens, New York.
Sweet.
So we went from one third world nation to another.
Nice.
And then we lived in New Jersey for a minute. New Jersey. And then we moved out to California when I was about 13. So I feel like a local. I've lived here most of my life. So.
Right. So, yeah, California is like home. But you kind of have like a, like you've seen a little taste of the country a little bit in America. Like you've been in two very ethnic melting pots of the U.S. And then how did you get into stand-up comedy?
In a long about way. When I was young, very young, I decided I was going to be an actress. And then when I started acting, I decided I didn't like it.
Oh, really?
There was so much out of my control.
Right.
And I would go into auditions and I would rewrite the sides. And a lot of times they'd be angry with me. And once in a while, like there was one commercial where I went in and I'm like, can I do something? And I did it differently. And they're like, meh. And I didn't get the part. And then when I saw the commercial, they had used my lines. I'm like, okie dokie. And then I met someone who was a writer. And then we became a team. There's three of us. We were writing together. So I did that for a very long time. And then I stopped doing that because it stopped being fun. That's my my entire life is, if it stops being fun, stop doing it.
Right.
And I didn't do anything for a minute. And then I accidentally fell into hosting karaoke for 3 years. It's just a thing that happened.
This was all in California,
right? This is all here, yeah.
Okay.
I was hosting karaoke for 3 years, and I've always been, even when I was writing, I've always been the person who was like, oh, here's the joke in this scene, and here's this. So it's always been in there, just... and when I was hosting karaoke, I would be funny. I would be the funny host.
Right.
And there's no pressure to actually be funny, so it was a lot easier. And then I stopped doing that, and I just started writing for a little while. And then I realized I'm writing my life story, but all of my stories, even the horrible ones, are funny. I'm like, stand up. Do stand up. It was like a little light bulb over my head. It kind of lit up.
Wait,
so I started doing stand up.
Was it moving out here that kind of sparked this whole, like, you wanted to be an actor?
No.
Was it the allure of, like, Hollywood? And or did you have those dreams when you were moving around? And
when I was, I think, 11, I ran away from home.
Really?
Yeah, there was a big traumatic thing that was happening, and my thing was to run away. We lived in Northburg in New Jersey at the time, and I was trying to get to the city because I thought that's what you do. And this is like pre-internet, pre-more than four networks on air. Like this is, I was born in 71, so this is like a very long time ago. And not four blocks from my house, a police officer picked me up, took me to the station, and I wouldn't talk to him. I wouldn't say a word. I had nothing, no ID on me, and he couldn't. He just very calmly just kind of sat there waiting for me to open up, and then he put on this movie mm-hmm. about this little girl who runs away. So they had it set, obviously, and he made me watch it, and my thought was, I want to do what that little girl's doing.
Really?
Yeah. I'm like, she is not real. I'm real. But she's doing what I'm wanting to do and conveying that emotion, and I want to do that. So that's where it started.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And then you just had those dreams throughout your journeys traveling across the country. And, did you pursue any of this in school? Like, were you taking drama classes?
I was not permitted to. My father was a very strict man who thought anything outside of anything was being... He called it the whore or the slut. So I wasn't allowed to do cheerleading. I wasn't allowed to do drama. I did not do Greece in high school, but I did do it because I would hang out with them, and then I had a free class, and I would. I was like, I learned the part of Rizzo. So I didn't do it because I couldn't, but I did.
Yeah,
so.
Like not technically, not but technically. You were there.
I did play Little Orphan Annie in... because my hair, you can't tell right now, but it's very curly. It's short.
It's great. I like it.
And I was in the country for less than 6 months, and I played Little Orphan Annie in Queens, New York.
And so tell me the first time you performed stand-up comedy, how old were you?
43.
Oh, really? Mm. So it was... I want to take a step back to the hosting then. What was the first time you started hosting the karaoke?
Let me think. 38? Somewhere in there?
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So what were you doing in all those years leading up to hosting all that? Were you working like side jobs and...
I was a television writer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Did I not mention that part?
I think you did.
I kind of tend to like leave that part out because once I say that, people just go...
No, yeah, that's
huge. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I kind of want to talk. Like, what TV shows were you working on?
I worked on a lot of stuff that didn't see the light of day, and I worked on three shows that were on air, and... It was 1991, 2001, and 2003, something like that. So it was way back.
That's not too far back, but... And then you said that you got your writing chops from working on those TV shows,
mm-hmm.
and then you started hosting karaoke. What was hosting karaoke like?
Oh, my God, so fun, first of all, because it's absolutely the silliest job in the world. I'm like, wait, hang on a second. You are going to pay me.
They were paying you?
Yes.
Really?
Give me a microphone and then sing badly and then encourage others to do the same. Mm-hmm. I'm in.
Right.
It was the best job. It just stopped being fun. Same thing. It was a job. When it became a job, I left.
Yeah. I did a lot of hosting in high school too. And I think that's, you said that, you know, you had no like pressure to be funny,
right.
which made it a lot
exactly.
easier just to jump on and
100%.
Be funny.
Yes.
So, I kind of had the same experience. I was hosting like talent shows in high school, and they would just be like, all right, we got to set up two drum kits and a disco ball. You have 5 minutes to cover. So I would just go out there and talk about like, you know, what I had for breakfast or just whatever. I'd make fun of people in the crowd. And I think I relate to you in that when there's no pressure to be funny, I think I shine.
It's a lot
there.
Easier, yes.
Also,
when I was hosting karaoke, a lot of karaoke hosts will be like, "That coming up next is blah," and they're very blah.
Yeah.
Sorry, karaoke hosts, you know who you are. I was this. I would set it up, have the singer go, and then go into the crowd and talk to people. And if God forbid, you were on a first date. Everybody was going to know.
Yeah.
Everybody. I would give attention, everybody. See that tour there? I don't think they've kissed yet. And people go, kiss, kiss. Because, you know, drunk people will do anything you tell them to do. So,
from watching a little bit of this new show that you do,
mm-hmm.
I think you do a little bit of that as well. Like, you open it up like, what's up? And you kind of like yell at the crowd a little bit. Do you think that was all born from your karaoke days of...
Pretty much who I am.
Oh, it's just like ingrained in your personality and whatnot.
I feel like in anything you do, if you're you, then you find the thing that makes you different.
Mm-hmm.
So that's me.
Right. We got to quote that. I want to quote that. Put that
so
on a t-shirt.
It's so deep. Oh my God.
So tell me a little bit. You said you got with a group of friends and you weren't having fun with the karaoke thing and you started this new show. Tell me a little bit the process of...
The new show actually started up 4 years after I started doing stand-up.
Okay.
So, and when I, the way I did stand-up was really crazy because I was writing for about a solid year. It's crazy because I actually deleted Facebook, which created a whole mess of problems on its own. Have you ever tried to delete Facebook? People will text you.
I don't really use, but yeah, they do text me all the time.
Are you mad at me? What? What happened? And they're like, you deleted me on Facebook. No, I deleted all of Facebook. So I was writing a lot and I wasn't sure. And then I figured out it was comedy and that was great. And then I started doing comedy. And then the place I used to do the karaoke hosting, they asked me back a year and a half ago. They're like, hey, somebody cannot do the thing. Will you sub? And I'm like, is the system the same? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, sure. So I subbed, and then the owner came up to me and said, hey, I noticed on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter that you do comedy now. And I said, I do. And he said, will you host a show? And I went, because I didn't want to. The first thing they tell you when you get into comedy is host a show, find a show, do a show,
right.
Produce a show.
Yeah.
And I did not want to. It sounded like work to me. And then I started doing it, and it's really fun. It's really, really fun because I get to see my friends work out their stuff. I get to see people get better. I get to see, because it's a mixed mic. I book it.
Right.
And then I let people, because I'm very lazy. I don't want to go out there and find talent. I make them come to me.
No, that's good. So, it probably gives like open micers like more of an opportunity.
And I watch them grow and it's super fun for me. So
how long have you been doing this?
We needed another. We're on episode 48 today. 48 weeks.
Nice.
We're going to go to 52 and then
You're off to a new new place.
Yes.
So I know that I keep bringing up why you decided to do your own show because I mean, that's something everybody kind of wants to do, and you said...
I didn't want to do it.
Yeah, you said you didn't want to do it.
Because to me, it sounded like work, and I don't... comedy to me is not work. People are like, oh, I'm putting in the grind. They say grind.
Yeah, people take it super seriously.
It's not a grind, though. I love it. I love... You put me on a stage with a mic... Not even a stage, a platform with a microphone and an audience, and I don't even need a microphone, actually, but I'm just... I'm like a pig in S-H-I-T, can I say that?
You could spell it.
You go. I'm taking it seriously. I don't want you to not get your grade.
Do you see like people performing on your show that do take it seriously? And how do you think they compare to the people like you that are just there to have fun? And
everybody has their own method of getting there. Mm-hmm. To me, the end result is, are you funny?
Right.
I don't care how you're getting there. The people who do take it super seriously, I tend to not be friends with because they're a bummer.
Yeah.
You know?
No, so. But yeah, I mean, last week we had this guy. He was a former professional snowboarder, and he talked about how he, like, puts the grind to comedy, and he takes it super seriously, and he has to write out all his jokes like Jerry Seinfeld. So would you say that comedians are better if they just have more fun with it, or?
You know, better is a very strange,
because
comedy, it's so completely subjective.
Right.
But what appeals to me is when I see somebody enjoying what they're doing, like Kathleen Madigan. I love her. If you haven't heard of her, find her, look her up. She laughs at her own jokes on stage. This one, and I'm just like, she's enjoying herself. She's having fun. And, you know, having your own point of view, whether it's word for word like Seinfeld does, or or like I love Doug Stanhope, and he's just down and dirty. Like, it's amazing what he does. And John Mulaney, who's, again, word for word and beautifully written. Everybody does their own thing. I write on stage. I get up, I have an idea, I start talking about it, and eventually it'll turn into a bit. Or it won't. It will just be like, well, there's an idea that's going nowhere. So.
Yeah, I mean, I find myself kind of torn. I guess it is all kind of subjective because, I mean, I don't know if you know, like, Joey Diaz. Have you ever heard of him?
I have heard of Joey Diaz.
He just literally like goes on stage and just like improvs and he kills like every night. But then there's people that I like Bo Burnham, who is like, he has like everything like pointed, like he'll point at like the stage and like smoke will come out, mm-hmm. and it'll be like part of his joke and stuff. So,
and that's the joy of the craft, is there is no there's no right or wrong way to do it.
You know?
Do it, be yourself, and nobody can do what you do. Mm-hmm. So that's it.
I'd like to switch things up a little bit. I know that you're a mom.
I am.
Congratulations.
Thank you. He's going to be 28 soon.
Do you find yourself being a mother to other comedians, or having like motherly instincts?
I was never really motherly with my own kids, so now.
Okay. That kind of fell flat.
He'll attest to that. I'm so sorry. No. I'm bubbly and I'm happy and I like, mm-hmm. I like taking care of, you know, people's emotions and stuff, but I'm not a mom.
But you're like the cool aunt. Like,
yes. Yes. I'm an awesome, awesome auntie. That's yes.
How does like your kids react, or kid, or I don't know how many kids you have, but
just one.
Just one. How does he react to you doing stand-up comedy? Does he come to your shows?
He doesn't care.
Really?
No.
He doesn't like brag to his friends, like.
Not really.
Wow, how
just
lame.
Doesn't. No, because you know, we're on different paths.
Right.
He just is. I'm his mom also. That's a very, yeah, like, it's a very kind of different place to come from.
Yeah. You probably talk about him a lot too. Probably embarrass him.
Only a little bit, and whenever I talk about him, I put him in a good light. I've never like been like, "What an idiot," that kind of thing. I don't do that. I talk about how stupid his father and I were, and how he was made, and I do all that stuff. Might be embarrassing for him.
Yeah, that's probably.
But the thing
terrible.
There is, I'm like, it starts with, "I'm so glad my kid is smart, because look at the idiots that made him."
Right,
so
right.
He's always in a positive light.
Okay. Well, I think that concludes a lot of it. I'd like to give you some plug time for such a great episode. So you have about like 3 or 4 minutes. Tell people what's going on in your life.
Oh my God, that's a lot of minutes.
Or less, whatever.
It's fine. What is going on in my life? I'm doing my show Thursday nights at the Dark Horse for the next 5 more weeks.
5 more weeks. You come see her tonight.
April. I don't have it in front of me, so
okay.
I'm not good with dates. The We Needed Another comedy show is a page on Facebook. You can go find that. I am Maral Adams, M-A-R-A-L Adams, at Instagram and Twitter and on Facebook, everywhere.
Yeah, give her a follow.
I sleep till noon. That's a plug.
Yes.
I had to get up early for this today.
Really?
I did.
Okay. Well, to conclude our show, do you have any words of wisdom to the college students out there that are thinking about going into comedy?
Oh, words of wisdom. Okay. I keep bumping this
thing.
It's
okay. Don't worry about it.
What I did, and I think it was really helpful, is I listened to podcasts where comedians speak to other comedians. And you can get so, that was like my MBA. Like, it was amazing. And one of the things, two of the things they said, which I think is amazing, is first of all, go to an open mic before you try to do one. Go look to see what mm-hmm. it looks like so you're not, you know. And then be you, that's obvious. And then the other thing that I heard before I even did comedy was you have to start enjoying the bombs. You can't be upset that it didn't work. So for me, when I get up on stage and nobody laughs, and I've had those days where nothing happens, I've got this feeling in my stomach going, yes, oh my God, and I love it. So enjoy the bombs.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. I'd like to thank my very special guest. Let me see if I could pronounce it right this time. Maral.
Yes.
Maral Adams, for joining me today. This is Cameron Kern with KPCRadio.com.